game industry side take podcast, The Gist, is brought to you by the International Game Developers Association, the IGDA, the world's largest nonprofit professional association dedicated to supporting and empowering individual game creators all around the world, from hobbyists to seasoned veterans. For more information about the IGDA, you can visit igda.org.
Okay. So, hi, everyone. This is our very first GIST podcast, Game Industry Side Takes. And today we are talking from a side project to Apple Arcade with Chirag Chopra. And he is a Google Games Accelerator alumnus. He runs an all-remote global indie game studio called Lucid Labs. He believes he has the most crucial duty in the world, bringing joy to a stressed society. No kidding, right?
Lucid, yeah, absolutely.
Lucid Labs takes pride in being the only Indian game developer yet to launch a game on Apple Arcade. The game Possessions, being the most ambitious one, has won multiple accolades globally, including two Game of the Year awards, with a focus on crafting premium experiences with lighthearted stories. Lucid Labs stands proudly by its motto, "We make games not for the masses." That is a great bio, Chirag.
Wow. Thank you so much for such a heartwarming introduction. And it's great to be here, especially in the first episode. The pleasure is all mine.
I'm so excited to have you. So tell me a little bit about how all this started. I know you were an indie developer. And so how did you even get into, what made you think to start with the Google Accelerator? What made you go in that direction?
So I think just with any other indie developer, it all started with the idea of, I wanted to make my own games, and I had ideas that I thought were unique, and I wanted to, just try things out. But I also wanted to play it safe because of not a very strong financial, support from the family. So I knew that I couldn't just take, a big leap of faith, which is why I started with my education. I got a master's degree in game design. I followed a very linear path, worked as a game designer and then a game producer in a couple of companies, and then eventually, moved to the indie side. Started, making my own games. So that's like how it happened and how it started.
Cool. So tell me about how you got the idea for your game.
So Possessions was part of, every time we finish a game, we usually do a lot of prototyping. And not just writing down ideas, because ideas on paper are worth nothing. So we are regularly prototyping, creating mechanics in the engine, testing them out. So Possessions was, one of the ideas that I had in my mind for a long time, where I wanted to experiment with, how we see things differently from different angles, and, based on where we look them at, they have different purposes. So with that said, with that kind of an idea, we started developing the prototype and showed around to a lot of friends. They were really interested and, started working more on it, got a publisher. And then Google Accelerator happened, which is when, we realized that, okay, we might be onto something. This might be a good idea and it's worth, pursuing.
That's really cool. So, tell me a little bit about the game. Like, what does it look like? What's the gameplay? Is it mobile? Is it on PC?
Sure. So as part of the Apple Arcade program, the game is available on every Apple device, excluding the Apple Watch. You can play it on iPad, iPhone, Apple TV, you know, on the big screen. So it's on the surface, it looks like a very simple, casual, you know, minimalist puzzle game where you just have one job. You swipe the screen to look at a room and different objects from different angles. And you need to find the angle for each object and place them where they belong. And as you move along, the puzzles get harder. There's also a story about a family who's inhabiting that house. And it's mostly environmental. You see stuff around the house. You look at the photos. You kind of understand, you know, what kind of life this family has, and then grow with them as well.
That's awesome. That sounds like a really cool game. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I've taken a look at that game in the past.
Oh, wow, you did?
Yeah, and I love the way you swipe and then the way you're trying to fit things into the room. It's really cool. And
thanks.
So,
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, it's really a great idea. And then that you get to kind of solve, like, not the mystery, but like, who is this family and what is it that they're doing and all those things is really cool.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, it has a very, in a way, a passive, deep meaning behind it. It comes, if the story is about a family that's, you know, starts off as poor and then eventually becomes, you know, a little better financially. And it's supported by the fact that back when I was a kid, the only way when I, you know, I realized that we are doing good is because we started seeing more fancy objects in our house, right? You start seeing things that were not there before. Oh, wow, a microwave. Oh, wow, an air conditioner, right? That's when you know that, okay, my family is now growing financially. Which is, this is the, you know, the kind of example I took for the story and portrayed that in the game, where you see the rooms getting bigger and also more fancier objects in the room and so on.
That's a really deep meaning. I mean, that's really fascinating, and the way that children kind of see the world and figure out what's happening in their lives, right? Because kids are always wondering, like, are we doing okay? Is everything okay? That's all they want, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so I love that. So tell me, what do you think made you get to Game of the Year? What was it that people really connected with?
I think the fact that the game, even though on the surface it looks like a very simple, casual game, but the amount of polish and the amount of, you know, love we've put into it, not just the, you know, the core game, but also how people interact with the story, the, you know, the UI and the kind of experience it provides. And also we built a new AR, augmented reality mode for mobile, which is, you know, kind of a new game altogether. So it's just everything is packaged together, and, you know, with a good production quality, good, you know, we put a lot of love into it, and also the game being super simple and super fun to play. I think that those were some of the reasons, I believe.
That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about how your life has changed as a result of, so you no longer work for other studios, you have Lucid Labs now. So what's changed in your life as a result of the possessions?
I think, like, we, especially me, like, I never expected possessions to do this great. Like, we knew that we were making a good game. It'll, you know, have its own life and, you know, people would love it. But we never expected to be on Apple Arcade. we never expected Apple to reveal our game at WWDC main stage. You know, when you come from a city in India where indie game development is still not that, you know, talked about or mainstream, you see your game at an Apple event, WWDC, that's when you realize that, oh, wow, I mean, now I know this was worth it, you know, all those years of hard work. And even financially, like you said, it allowed me to permanently focus my resources into making more indie games as my own studio and focus on even bigger games, bigger ambitions, and also give back to the community as well.
That's amazing. Speaking of giving back to the community, you are the chair of the Delhi chapter of the IGDA, which is really exciting. So, and you're having your first event coming up, and you went to the Indian Game Developer Conference. So tell me a little bit about your community endeavors.
So because of the, you know, the culture and the circle of game developers not being as big as compared to the American or the European, you know, network, we've always seen less support when it comes to, you know, people not having the right kind of insights, the right direction, and also any kind of knowledge about, you know, whether this path is worth pursuing. So because I come from New Delhi, which is a city in the northern part of India, that city is even, you know, lesser trendy for game dev compared to something like Bangalore or Mumbai or Hyderabad, which is why from the past 5 years, we started doing regular game dev meetups where we just, you know, asked people to let's, you know, hang out together, share whatever we know, you know, grab some drinks, get some feedback on our games, and which is what, you know, eventually grew into getting the support from IGDA and having our official chapter. And now next weekend on the 22nd, we are doing our first big meetup with almost 150 people and very excited about it.
I think that's amazing. And I think that's so important to sort of support the community as you guys have done so well and getting the support out there for everyone else. And I think that's a really interesting and exciting piece of the work that you do, is that you're very much about not just rising yourself, but you want to bring other people with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's simple, right? Like alone, I can maybe make 5-10 games, good games in my lifetime. But if I can in any way help even 100 others and each one of them can make 2 games, then, you know, I help create 200 games compared to 5 games, right? So it's all about just sharing whatever I know and, you know, in a way to support and nurture the community together.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's great. So what game are you working on now?
So currently we are working on another casual puzzle game for iOS and Android, but this time we are with the goal of doing something bigger. We've also built dynamic elements around it where we allow people to create their own levels and share the levels all within the game and without being, you know, too complex. So anyone can make their own levels and with a very casual puzzle mechanic.
Oh, that's really cool. I love that. What a great, fun idea. So there'll be like a base game and then people will be able to add to it, which is super cool. People love modding, right?
Yeah. And for people who are not into making their own levels or stuff, we still have around 100 levels of story and a cute, vibrant artwork and a story about a girl who's, you know, somehow finds herself in a quest to save Earth. And, you know, that it also comes with its own quest and so on. So you can keep playing if you're not into making levels.
I love that you have this story component, and that there was a story component to Possessions. And so that's something that is often missing in a lot of casual games. So what brought you to this incorporating of the narrative of the story component to a casual game?
That's a good question, actually, because of the, you know, the entire word casual, you know, defines something you don't really pay a lot of attention to, and you just, you know, interact with it when you've got the time for it, right? But I personally realized that when you give the players another reason to get attached to the game, they feel compelled to, you know, come back, and also they invest more time in it, because people don't get attached to mechanics or levels or, you know, level or any kind of, you know, gameplay. They get attached to stories, characters. They feel attached to relatable, you know, stories, relatable people they meet along those storylines, which is what we try to have an additional narrative layer where people also feel emotionally invested into the game, not by just, you know, playing the levels one by one, but also seeing what is following a story and seeing like what is going on in the character's life and so on.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Like for me, a story component to a game is really key for my continued engagement with it. And I especially appreciate a story around like a mobile casual game, because there never is one, right? You're just supposed to crush those candies until you can't. Like, how many candies can I possibly be interested in crushing? Like, personally, not that many. So I love that you're kind of opening up and viewing story as part of casual gameplay, which is really innovative.
I'm sure you'll love it. Like, I think you'll have fun not just playing the levels, but the story is also very witty, cute, people who are not supposed to be there, silly characters not making any sense. It's fun and, you know, relatable at the same time.
When is it supposed to come out?
We are going to start the soft launch to test the performance and also the network systems in about a couple of weeks. And I think in about 4 to 6 weeks, we'll do a global launch.
Wow! You'll have to let us know so we can promote it on the IGDA social
Absolutely.
Media and stuff. That's really exciting. Oh, so
Absolutely.
I'll get to play it really soon. What's it called?
It's called Bloom.
Bloom?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. I'm really excited about that. Like, yeah.
I'll make sure to send you an early build so you get to play before anyone else.
Yeah, I'm on Android, so.
Perfect. Yeah.
That would be great. So, Oh, I'm so excited. So tell us a little bit more about you, about what drives you in your sort of craft, in the way that you think about games and narrative. Like, what is it that, is it from school? Is it from life?
I realized this like pretty early in my childhood that I did not have any other hobbies. I mean, now I don't see that as a problem, but back then I thought, you know, maybe there's something wrong because I just don't like doing anything, and I can't seem to think about any career. You know, everyone had good career options they wanted to be, engineers, doctors, and, you know, so on. But I never had any idea. But I knew that I wanted to, you know, do something on the creative side because I loved watching movies. I also loved playing games. And, you know, it somehow happened when I saw people having fun from, you know, playing a game. I just thought, you know, how cool it is that you get to create something and then people enjoy it. And the reason they are happy is because you created something, right? That's how I knew that, okay, this is the right thing for me because I love coming up with new ideas. I love coming up with, you know, games. And why not just, you know, do this?
That's awesome. I love that you sort of came at it from that creativity standpoint, right? Where I always, I love like media, like books and games and films. And so I think that it's such a commonality amongst game devs is that we have these really similar interest in just how we tell stories to the world.
Right. Right.
And so that's really cool. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
Not particularly, but I think, if people who are from India and mostly around the northern part of India, please look forward to the event and make sure you are a RSVP because we are very excited about it and we are very excited to, you know, kick off this IGDA Delhi chapter and we need all the support we can.
That's something I forgot to ask you about. So how is it that do you feel like being a game dev in India is a different experience than being a game dev in, say, you know, North America or Europe?
So I think the question is about the not the differences, but it's also about the culture differences and the kind of opportunities we have. I married a Spanish girl, so I also spend like, you know, a good amount of time in Spain, and I get to know about the culture and the kind of opportunities, you know, they have for the game dev. In terms of, you know, there are no differences when it comes to the kind of tools you need or the kind of platform you need to make games. You have everything in India. The only thing that's lacking is the support from creative institutions and also, you know, that the creative grants, which are readily available in the European and the American, you know, with the government. That is something that is lacking here. You don't easily get support, you know, financial support for creative projects here in India compared to Spain or Europe. That's what I've personally seen.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. Europe is really great about supporting their creative sector much more than the US. So I think it's exciting. And I forgot that you married a Spanish girl. So you spend part of your year in Spain.
Yeah, I spend mostly, you know, 5 to 6 months there and the remaining in India, which is how, you know, I've been able to get a good understanding of how to be a game dev in Europe versus in India. And we also get good ideas, right? There are a lot of things we are trying for our meetup just by seeing how people do meetups or even, you know, social gatherings there, what kind of agendas they follow. And so whatever I learn, I try to apply it here and see what sticks to the Indian, you know, continent.
Yeah, I love that you're such an international, like, citizen of the world, right? That's such a cool part of you.
I guess.
Yes. So that's cool. Well, thank you so much for taking this time and doing this podcast with me. I really appreciate it. It's been so interesting to learn about Bloom and Possession and you as well as your company, it's been a really great time. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks to you for having me, also giving me a chance to share my story, not just about the games, but the kind of stuff we've been doing here. It was great to be here. Thanks for inviting me, especially for the first episode, which is always special.
It is. It's so special. I'm so excited to have you. So thank you so much.
No problem.